Take seven.
We're going to do something a little bit different because we're going to be having a potluck, and you can feel free to remain seated as we go into our time to hear and respond to a message from God's words. And our kiddos are dismissed at this time for our junior church with Miss Jeanette over here. You can feel free to go upstairs with her. But today, instead of having our normal take seven where we have a great time of fellowship and snacks, I don't know about you, but I was in that hallway, and boy, I'm ready to eat now. In all seriousness, we will have our time of fellowship and our worship and our fellowship because we acknowledge the fact that our worship is an act of fellowship, too. Fellowship is an act of worship is what I meant to say. Because God is the one who's brought us together, and there is no other but Jesus who has made it possible for this motley crew to come together. Therefore, today, as we go into our time to hear and respond to a message from God's word, we will spend time wrapping up what we've been doing over the past several weeks, discussing the spiritual discipline, the holy habit in the practice of faith, known as evangelism and proclamation, knowing it is a task that we have all, in the name of Jesus, been called to. We have all been called to share the hope we have in Jesus, as Peter instructs us in 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy always, being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Something that we're going to discover today is not something that may happen. It's something that's going to happen. You're going to be asked to give that reason if you faithfully follow and serve Jesus. If you live for Jesus, it's going to naturally lead you to a place where you will make that defense for the hope that you have in you. And we've discussed over the past several weeks what this looks like by what it doesn't look like. And all the horrible examples we have of people who give that word evangelical a bad reputation in our communities and in our society. And we've been looking, though, to the actual example of how, to find out how it is we actually live out this practice, and looking at how it is that God has called us to live out this practice as we have been blessed to be a blessing. Because we have been blessed by the Lord Jesus, as Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." In Jesus, we have received so much abundance of spiritual blessings, and our calling is to live out the calling of Abram. When God called him forth, he separated and set him apart to go and be a blessing to the world, to be blessed in order that he could bless the world, and that in this we could truly be who it is God's created us to be his image bearers to the world around us as we become his children and we represent his kingdom as his ambassadors, blessed to be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing, something that we have been discussing that we simply do by bless. A simple acronym that we've been discussing from Dave and John Ferguson's book, Bless, how it is that we reach the world and our neighbors, and how it all begins how Jesus began every movement of the kingdom, and that is in prayer. That being blessed to be a blessing always begins in prayer, much like Jesus would always begin in prayer, and how it requires us to listen, to be attentive, just like Jesus always was listening and was always attentive. Even in the middle of doing something, he always gave his full attention to those who needed him. And he listened to hear them, not just to simply respond. And he gave people the dignity to express their needs, their heartaches and their pains. And Jesus shows us there's no better way to do this other than eating with others. As we discuss, something special happens around those moments when we eat with one another and we share at the table with one another. Sports turn to struggles. Conversations about work turns to worries. Hobbies to habits, which opens the door for us to provide the answer that we have found in our own struggles, in our own worries, in our own bad habits. We can provide that answer and that hope that we have in Jesus, especially when we go the next step that he goes, being willing to serve. Being willing to serve people where they were, how they needed to be served. Because when we listen to people and we discover their needs, we learn how it is we can go low. Because it is in that willingness and in that humility to go low and serve the world around us that we discover how it is that we can begin to share. Because when we begin in prayer and seek the Father's guidance and direction to reach the world around us, listen clearly, not assuming, but listening clearly to how it is that we can be his hands and feet in any given moment, being open to share our lives and our tables, our shared experiences with other people by breaking of bread and learning how we can ultimately serve them and give them a foretaste of what Jesus has given to us. By being willing to go low like he went low, as Philippians 2, 5 through 8, like we explained last week, proclaims, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. When we do this for others and we consider others more significant than ourselves, it opens the door for us to share. But to not just share anything, to share what Jesus shared, his story. We get to share our story with Jesus. Because that is exactly what happens. We see Jesus doing these practices of beginning with prayer, listening, eating, and serving, and it opens these doors of amazing critical conversations. Throughout the Gospels, we see this, where Jesus is led into these moments with people that he otherwise would have never have been in because he was willing to do these things, and because of that, he was able to share. He was able to share in the hope that there is in him. Think about Nikki. I meant Nicodemus, Nikki for short, who is famed for coming to Jesus at night, as John 3, 1 through 2 proclaims. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Leading to a very deeply significant and life-changing conversation where Jesus shares who he is, what he has come to do, and how Nicodemus can share in the life he has come to bring. Then there's that moment with that Samaritan woman and the whole of a Samaritan community being brought to hear Jesus share the exact same thing because of a short conversation at a well. And we fast forward a little bit in the gospel. What about Pontius Pilate? Jesus is given the opportunity to share before the Roman governor, to openly share the hope that he comes to bring to the world, because Jesus did what Jesus did. He did those Jesus things. He is given the opportunity to share. Much like you too will have the opportunity to share when you live in a manner that is like Jesus. Because we are to be Jesus people doing the things that Jesus did. The word of God is dripping with example after example. And Jesus himself even proclaims that when we, his people, who are called by his name, go forth and live in the way that he lived and served in the way that he served to bless the world around us, that this is exactly what will happen. Jesus says in Matthew 10, verses 16 through 19, Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Well, doesn't that sound nice? So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. Well, how? by and through the Holy Spirit of God, he says. This is precisely what we see happening throughout Acts, the book of Acts, and throughout history. Living for Jesus, seeking to live as a blessing that we have been blessed to be leads to just this. Leads to some of the most amazing moments to share our story and the hope that we have in Jesus. Who in your life has living like Jesus opened the door and led you to share with them the hope of Jesus you have with them? I think about a time that wasn't too, about 8 years ago. It was when I was in Haiti once, and we were staying at a Haitian motel. And explain this is most of the missionary mission teams that would go to Haiti would stay at those brand name motels, you know, the ones that had air conditioning. You know, we stayed in the hotel that had an outside bathroom that you had to walk out of your room to go to. You know, it was this complex that was set up, these many different rooms, and you know, they had bottles of glass in the wall to prevent people from climbing over the wall into the hotel property. It wasn't a very pleasant place to stay, but it was safe, it was secure, and that's where we chose to stay. We chose to bless the people of Haiti instead of some corporation in our going to Haiti, and so that's why we chose to stay there. And yes, there was no AC, and that was horrible, but the point being, the owner of this hotel also ran a radio station that broadcast over most of the country. It was a very popular rock and roll station, which he broadcasted straight from his hotel. When he realized who we were and what it is we were doing, our brother in Christ, our guide and translator, Georgetown Charles, my fellow Haitian brother, said, "Brandon, he wants you to come on his radio station, and he wants you to talk about why you're here in Haiti." And I'm like, okay. And we had this wonderful impromptu live interview that got broadcast over all the nation of Haiti on his radio station. And it was all because we were attempting to be Jesus people who would do things the way Jesus did. I also think about the many, many times on Mission with Game Church where Christians and non-Christian influencers on YouTube alike would take time to stop and interview us about what it is we were doing and why it is we were doing it. Some of these influencers were quite small, just small networks. Some of them worldwide. And here we are sharing the gospel because we had the audacity to be a light in the darkness. When you seek to bless the world around you in the manner by which Jesus blessed the world around him, when you're willing to do that, be ready to share, because doors of opportunity to share your story will open up again and again, making me ask again, who in your life has living like Jesus opened the door and led you to share with them the hope of Jesus you have with them? Because the reality is, if you are really in Christ and you've given your life over to Christ, living for Christ, this is the natural result of such giving of your life and living for Christ. As the Gospels, the New Testament, and the rest of history shows us time and time again, as Jesus teaches us, will be the case, especially in one of my most favorite moments of this happening in John chapter 9. Which is where we're going to be today for the majority of the rest of this time. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 34, where we see this taking place. As he passed by, he saw a blind man from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he's like him." he kept saying, I am the man. So they said to him, then how were your eyes opened? He answered, the man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and received my sight. They said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. They brought him to the Pharisees, the man who had formerly been blind. Now, it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such things? And And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, what do you say about him since he opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. The Jews did not believe that he had been born blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age, he will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone would confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogues. Therefore, his parents said, he is of age, ask him. Thanks, Mom and Dad. So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered, whether he's a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. They said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? And they reviled him, saying, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, why? This is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, you were born in utter sin, and would you teach us? And they cast him out. I love this moment because it perfectly captures what happens and what we are to do when we truly give our lives over to Jesus and trust him. It provides us with great opportunities to share what Jesus has done in our lives. And there is no better way to do this than to tell our story, to tell the story of what it is that Jesus has done in our lives. When we seek to be a blessing to the world around us in the manner in which God has blessed us, there's no other result than to share. Than to share what it is that God has done. Would we be but willing to share? There's so much to unpack here. And there's a lot of stuff out there to unpack as well. So I'm going to do my best to be brief at this point. But to really get at what it is that this moment in history, this moment with Jesus teaches us about how it is we too can share. Just like this man who was born blind. Because in our day and age, there are so many barriers. There are so many reluctancies we have. There are so many things that cause us to hesitate that we face in our culture. Things that we've discussed in these past several weeks talking about evangelism and proclamation, and some things we haven't. But we do tend to hesitate. Why? Why do we hesitate? Well, in the first book of Hesitations, sorry, bad Bible joke. We tend to find that we are shy and reluctant because we often don't feel we have what it takes. We believe we don't have what it takes. And you know what the truth is? We don't. But with Jesus, we have more than enough. Because Jesus makes it clear that when he is with us, that he is for us, he is not against us. We can do all things in him, and we are more than enough in Jesus. Where we alone are not, we with Jesus are more than enough. And what is the final promise he makes in Matthew to us? The final verse of Matthew says, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age," as we discussed last week. He is with us by and through the power of his Holy Spirit within our lives. Yet too often we buy into this lie of the enemy that you are not enough. Let me tell you something. If there was anyone, I mean anyone, who could have bought into this lie and had every reason under the sun to buy into it, it was the man that we just read about in John chapter 9. How is he introduced to us? As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples, the closest followers of Jesus, asked, "Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the work of God might be displayed in him." The disciples are saying, they're like, who's worse, his parents or him, that he would be born like this? Because they had bought into that myth and lie of the culture that says that, you know, bad things don't happen to people who do good things. To good people, because the truth is, there's no such thing as a good person. We are all fallen, and we are all sinful to the core. By this standard, we should all be born blind. And in a way, we were. We were born spiritually blind. More on that here in a little bit. But the point is, Jesus makes it very clear. He nips it in the mud. This man didn't sin, nor did his parents sin that caused him to be blind. But it is the reason there are such things as suffering, as sin and death, is because of sin. Sin in this world, we're so quick to point out the flaws of others, yet we never acknowledge how is it that we could have contributed to the problem. It is this fallen world of sin. And Jesus says that it wasn't because of his sin or his parents' sin, but that the work of God might be displayed in and through him, because God is going to do something amazing in and through him and in his suffering. Even the Pharisees make it very clear that this man's a sinner. They answer him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Newsflash, we're all born in utter sin. And our only hope is Jesus, which is what this man proclaimed to them. Yet if there was anyone who could have bought into the lie that we are not enough, it was this man. He could have bought into that lie. He was an outcast. He wasn't cared for by society. He was just a beggar on the street. And he was considered to be entrenched and dripping with sin, when he was just dealing with what life had been dealt to him. And we must never buy into this lie that we're not enough, because you are more than enough. In Jesus, you have been made more than enough. You are perfectly capable to share, just like this man shares. Boldly shares, "I was, then Jesus, and now I am." And because that's how it is. It's, "I was, then Jesus, now I am." Short, sweet, and to the point. Bring us to the second hesitation. We tend to this in this day and age to shy away, to hesitate, to be reluctant, because we don't think we know enough. We don't have all the answers. And boy, I'd be scared if you said you did, because none of us do. I don't have all the answers. I can't tell how many times I'm at men's group and a question gets asked and I'm immediately on Google. It's like, let's see what I can find on Google. And even then, I can't trust Google, because Google doesn't have all the answers. No one has all the answers, and neither should you feel that you need to have all the answers. And this man shows us that you don't need to have all the answers. You just need to stick to your story. "I was, then Jesus, now I am." Because that's all you need, and that is more than enough. Because that is what this man who was born blind does, this outcast of outcasts. We see this time and time again in this passage, in all 34 verses, especially starting at verse 10, where he says, "So they said to him, the community, 'Then how were your eyes opened?' He answered, 'The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went, washed, and received my sight.'" Spit, mud, smear, wash. That's what he says. Spit, mud, smear, wash. That's all there was to it. And now I can see. And I'm going to tell you, there's no optometrist that's going to tell you that this is how you heal blindness. In fact, most optometrists are going to say, no, that's how you get more blind. Putting someone's spit and mud in your eyes, that's how you get an infection. But that's all there was to it. Spit, made mud, rubbed the mud, and told me to wash. And because of this, I can now see the impossible has happened. And in fact, the man reports this. Never since the world began, it says in verse 32. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. I just want us to take a moment with that. This man had never seen anything in his entire life. Imagine being blind from birth and all of a sudden being able to see years after years of living and not seeing. How wonderful, how marvelous is our Savior to give this gift to this man. But he makes it clear, he wasn't expecting to be healed. He didn't expect it to be possible. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. Meaning, this is as miraculous comes. So the people, they do what people do best. Let's find someone else that can help explain this. And they take the man to the Pharisees. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now, it was a Sabbath day. Ugh. When Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees asked again him who or how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I wash, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." There's no elegant speech here. And in fact, when he's asked, "What do you say about the man?" he gets the answer wrong. He says he's a prophet. Well, he's the Messiah. But the point is, there's no theological treatise, just the facts. Spit, mud, smear, wash. I was, then Jesus, and now I am. He sticks to the story that he had been given by Jesus. And that's all we need to share about who Jesus is and what Jesus had done. I love what Dave and John Ferguson say about this. So many people think sharing their story is only for super religious people who understand the Bible backward and forward. After all, what if a debate breaks out? Ooh. Or someone asks a question you can't answer? They further explain how we overcome this by saying, good news is better than a good argument. And let me tell you, there's no one saying that I follow Jesus now because of that Facebook post so long ago that someone so well and elegantly shut me down on. Good news is better than good arguments. Spit, mud, smear, wash was better than him going through the Old Testament and trying to explain how Jesus is the Messiah. All he needed was spit, mud, smear, wash, and Jesus did it. Jesus did it. That's my story. I was, then Jesus, now I am. What is your I was, then Jesus, now I am story? Have you given it much thought? If you would like to and you haven't, there's this great exercise in that little cabinet thing back there. It's called Everyday Mission. And in that packet that says Everyday Mission, there's a whole section about how to write your story. How it is you can write your story effectively in a means to where you can share it in 10 seconds. I was, then Jesus, I am, a way that you can share it in 60 seconds, a little bit longer, and then a way that you can share it over a course of 5 minutes, and you could actually share it with people and talk about how you were this, and then Jesus, and now I am. I encourage you, if you've never thought about what that story is in your life, to pick up that packet. It's also on our website under our resources tab. And if you still can't get a copy of it, you can't pick it up back there, I will print you one. All you got to do is ask. I will print it right now if you ask me. Because I'm going to tell you, if you've bought into the lie, if you were reluctant, if you hesitate because you believe you don't know enough, that exercise will show you know everything you need to know to share with the world around you the name of Jesus. Because you were, then Jesus, and now you are. You don't need to know anything more than that. And it is okay to say you don't know the answer to a question. All you know is spit, mud, rub, wash. Because that is all that is needed to flip an entire community of people on its head. I was, then Jesus, and now I am. Just like this man who was born blind, was touched by Jesus, and is now not blind, as verse 24 through 25 testifies. So for the second time, they called the man who had been born blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." I love his answer. He answered, "Whether he's a sinner, I don't know. I don't know." It's okay. You can say you don't know. There's a lot of things I don't know. And it's important for us to be humble enough to go low, to say we don't know. I don't know whether he's a sinner or not. One thing I do know, though, that though I was blind, now I see. I was blind, then Jesus, and now I see. Explain that to me, O Pharisee. The man gives the facts he knows and nothing but the facts he knows. He shares his story with Jesus, his micro moment with Jesus, understanding he isn't forcing his story either. It is being welcomed to be shared over and over and over again, even though those asking him to share are unwilling to hear, which sadly is the case in many cases, which can make this very uncomfortable and costly. And that's the third reason we tend to hesitate. It's uncomfortable and costly, therefore it's not worth it. Showing us the third reason we can be reluctant and hesitant, because we don't want to pay that cost. When we know in Jesus the cost is worth it. It's always worth it. And yes, it is uncomfortable. Yes, it is costly. It will cost you friends. It will cost you things in your life. It will cost you your very life. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and no less. But at the end of the day, he shows us it will always be worth it. Just like it cost this man right here in verse 18 to 23, we see how this could be a costly endeavor. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called his parents of the man who had received his sight. And ask them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age. He will speak for himself." Why did they so quickly pass the buck? Verse 22, 23 shows us. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." Imagine being this man in the midst of all this. Would you hold on and hold out amidst all the pressure of the Pharisees, especially when seeing your parents for the first time in your life fold just quick and easily? "Don't ask us, ask him. He's on his own now." I mean, seriously, thanks, Mom and Dad. "Don't ask us, ask him. Peace." The reality is that this can be very uncomfortable. It is difficult, and it can be very costly. In fact, we find that this man is cast out of the synagogue because of this. Many people throughout history and the Bible were murdered because of it. All because they dared to share, I was then Jesus and now I am. Ruthlessly and brutally murdered. Nevertheless, it doesn't lessen our responsibility to this task, because there's promise in this. There is a hope in being willing to share. As Jesus shares with us in Matthew 10, 32 through 33, two contrast realities. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, he says, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Showing us that even though it may be uncomfortable, difficult, and costly, it's completely worth it. Just because it's uncomfortable, just because it's difficult, does not make it not worth it. It is completely worth it, because we are talking about eternity here. And we see it's completely worth it for this man with what happens next. Because Jesus doesn't abandon this man like this man's parents abandoned him. Jesus comes to him. It says this in verses 35 through 41, the rest of the story. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And having found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, and who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. He said, Lord, I believe and worshiped him. Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, are we also blind? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains. Not only a moment where this man is affirmed, he's comforted, he's welcomed. Beyond all these things, he is vindicated. Jesus vindicates this man's faith by acknowledging that he sees and those blind Pharisees are blind. Remember, the way up in the kingdom of God is not up as we see it, but down. And when we're willing to go low and become low for his name's sake, taking up our own cross and following him, we find the fullness of his kingdom here and now on earth as it will be in the eternity to come. And of course, there's more, but there's also a lot of turkey and a Thanksgiving feast at hand. So for today and for now, on this topic, on this discipline of the faith, as we move into our season of Advent next week, I just want to ask again, who is it in your life has, by living the way of Jesus, opened up for you to share the hope you've had in Jesus? Who is it? Is there anyone? If there's not anyone, I dare to ask, have we been living in the way of Jesus? And we began this series reading a passage over and over again from Romans, and I want to read it one more time. Romans 10, 13 through 14, where it says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? I want to read this one more time, though. And this time I want to read it with you. I want you to read this with me. But when we get to someone in verse 14, I want you to insert your name. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without Brandon preaching? Without Paul preaching? Without Christy preaching? Without Jacob preaching? Without Raul preaching? Without Patricia, Greg, Andrew, Haley, whoever you are, how are they to hear unless you dare to be bold, to accept that you are more than enough, you know enough, and yeah, it's going to cost you something, but in the end, it's going to be worth it. This is how vital this is. This is life or death for eternity that we are balancing. So who in your life has, like living like Jesus opened the door and led you to share with them hope. The hope of Jesus you have with them. Would you go and dare to share? This is the word of the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Amen.